Our lesson tonight is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 15, God's use of suffering in his servants to disciple others. 2 Corinthians was written to defend the authenticity of Paul's apostleship and his message to a church of believers who were susceptible to heeding false teachers who critiqued him. Well, God allowed this suffering for Paul and his evangelistic team as a necessary factor towards the discipling of their hearers, a program that every servant of God needs to understand to stay productive when facing suffering. Let's read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 15. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always buried about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I went one verse over, but anyway, we'll look at that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, Paul reported how he and his ministry team suffered while discipling others. They were hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed by these pressures. It's interesting, we get pressured in a variety of ways. Sometimes we're pressured emotionally. Sometimes we're pressured mentally. Sometimes we're pressured physically because we have too few resources. Sometimes we're pressured in time. We don't have enough time to do what we feel we need to do or what God's assigned us to do. And it gets tough. They were perplexed, but not allowed by the Lord to despair. Sometimes we run into situations in the Christian life, especially in ministry, where the questions arise in our hearts and minds as to what's going on? What in the world is God doing? And we don't understand it. But we keep plugging on anyway. And that's what God wants us to do. They were persecuted by foes, but not abandoned by the Lord in the process. God never let them completely completely crushed. The Lord would give them just enough encouragement to keep going. They were struck down, but not destroyed. Well, the fact that these sufferings were obviously carefully allowed but nevertheless limited in degree and effect so as to keep Paul and his ministry team from total defeat indicated that God was letting these servants of his face these sufferings. And Paul explained the reason why in verses 10 and 11. God the Father had planned for his servants in the church era to bear in their human bodies the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus, conforming them to what his son suffered. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and then rose again from the dead, God determined that people who would believe in Jesus Christ would be conformed to the image of Christ. And not only that, but be conformed to Christ in his life. And were conformed to Christ in his death, going through kind of like a dying process. And then the resurrection, God wants the resurrection power of Christ seen in us in contrast to that dying that occurs. So only a brilliant God could do this. Here we are, we're in mortal bodies that are weak, mortal bodies that are frail. And God says, I'm going to use that. I'm going to allow suffering to come and really show the incredible frailty that is there. So that in spite of that frailty, there's this buoyancy of the Spirit that pops up, and that will be used for my glory. That's what he's doing. In this way, God also wanted to expose Christ's supernatural resurrection life that sustained his servants in the midst of their sufferings, a clear testimony of the power of God to their onlookers. So, God's servants were always being given over to the sufferings Christ experienced that there might be seen a type of his dying for Jesus' sake in the ministry, that the resurrection life of their Lord might also be evidenced in their mortal bodies as a testimony to the reality of their witness to others. Sometimes the only way God can make our witness credible is to allow our human weakness, our human frailties, to become abundantly evident to other people, painfully so, and to allow us, when those weaknesses are evident, to go through suffering to the point where people wonder, why is this dear person facing all this? And that, in spite of all of that weakness, there's this buoyancy that pops up. And that buoyancy is a testimony that there's something there that is greater than the person. And that greaterness, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And God is there. So, Paul, apply this principle to his Corinthian readers, explaining that the sufferings he and his team experienced, a kind of death to his life, worked to produce life in the hearers. For the power of God to sustain Paul and his team amid their extensive sufferings made their words believable to their hearers, resulting in those hearers expressing faith in God's truth and hence leading to life for them. So the faith in Paul's hearers was the same faith in Paul and his ministry team. And Paul's team not only had believed in that truth, but they were also sharing it through suffering for the production of faith in others. Well, Paul and his team looked forward to the blessed hope of the rapture when God would raise them with their believing hearers, as he had been raised, as he has raised up their Savior Jesus Christ and brought them into his presence. So in summary, Paul explained that all the sufferings that he and his team were experiencing was for the sake of his hearers, like the Corinthian readers of his epistle. The grace of God was extended more and more through sustaining them amid their sufferings so as to make their message believable and thus effectively disciple other people. This divinely assigned suffering was thus designed to increase the thanksgiving of believers to the glory of God, who is behind this program of suffering for his servants. That's a very different view of suffering than is often presented, even in churches today, even Bible-teaching churches. Many times we look at suffering as a bad, so we pray and ask God, please help this person overcome the suffering. And I'm sure God is in favor of our desiring for people not to suffer. But sometimes it's in the best interests of God that that believer suffer, and suffer on a variety of fronts, so that the power of God can be seen in him. So just as Christ accomplished our great salvation through his suffering, his believing servants today are led of God to suffer in many ways, but in a carefully measured amount, so as not to hinder them from continuing to serve God, that the resurrection power of Christ, in contrast to their sufferings, might be seen in them by their hearers, that their hearers might believe the message. As this suffering for discipling program continues, producing more disciples with greater spiritual growth, thanksgiving to the Lord for his use of such suffering in his servants is made by God's people, or to be made by God's people, to the glory of the grace of God in the discipling process. So, since suffering in serving God is a crucial part of God's plan to expose the resurrection power of God in his servants before their hearers, that their hearers might believe the servant's messages from God and thus be discipled to the thanksgiving and glory of God, may we not be disillusioned if we suffer while serving the Lord, but may we rather expect it and even be grateful for it, since God is using it to clarify the truthfulness of what we teach to our hearers. If we face trials in many realms but never experience total defeat, we need to realize that God is sustaining us, demonstrating his resurrection power in us as a witness to others. Interesting. If we see other believers face multiple fronts of suffering in serving the Lord, we need to inform them of these truths for their edification. Before I came to Nepog Church, and I know some who've been here would know this, there was a man who attended our church by the name of Eugene Ori. And Eugene came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And one day a Christian was telling me about the fact that he discovered one day that he had cancer. I believe it was, it was a blood disease of some sort. And he had this cancer, and Eugene was very concerned about the salvation of his relatives and family and friends around him. So he asked for prayer, and he wanted to see these people come to Christ, and he started witnessing avidly to them. And one of the men he witnessed to was his nephew. And at the time, the nephew hadn't made the decision to believe in Christ, but the nephew was impressed by the fact that here this man had this terminal illness, and he was dying. I think it was leukemia. And yet he had this positive attitude, and he was concerned about his salvation. Well, in time, Eugene Ory went on to be with the Lord. And to make a very long story short, eventually his nephew came to know Christ as his Savior. And his nephew, Jim, is now one of our deacons. Now, Eugene didn't live to see that this nephew came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. But Eugene is going to get credit for being a witness for him in the future because he was faithful to the Lord. And the suffering through which he went left made an impact on Jim and others. And it was actually, at the time, the church here was just fairly new. People had come to know Christ as their Savior. It was a little bit weak. So when Eugene came to the Lord and when he discovered he had his cancer, the vibrancy of his faith was a shot in the arm to everybody around him in the church here at the time. And it encouraged this whole church. And actually, it probably was something that was instrumental in helping this church to grow a little more and to be consistent and for people to mature a little bit in Christ, something that was needed for the whole church. And the Lord used that man's suffering before he went home to be with the Lord in glory as something that built up the faith of people here in the church. So Nepog Church as a whole and its progress over the years and so forth can undoubtedly go back to the days when Eugene Norrie was here and he was a living testimony to the Lord. But it came through suffering. It was through suffering. I think of a woman in the Old Testament by the name of Hannah. Hannah was suffering. She was a wife, one of two wives of a man, and she was childless in an era where childlessness was seen as a curse. And she wept before the Lord and pleaded with the Lord. She was suffering intensely where the other woman was always chiding her and scolding her and mistreating her because she was barren. And she pleaded with the Lord, "Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him unto you for the rest of his life as a Nazarite from the womb." And the Lord answered her prayer and gave her a baby by the name of Samuel. And because of her intense suffering, Samuel was raised to be a godly man. And Samuel was the prophet that actually held the nation together between the era of Saul and going over to King David. But it all goes back to a woman by the name of Hannah. Many, many generations ago, a woman by the name of Mary, who was a virgin, who was told of the Lord that she would bear the Messiah, when she gave her Magnificat, her Magnificat is actually based upon Hannah's praise song there in 1 Samuel. It's directly. So the Lord used the suffering of this woman, Hannah, not only to help in the establishment of the kingdom over to the rising up of David, but also the descendant of David, Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave her a format for formulating her Magnificat that gave praise to the Lord. It's amazing. Suffering. A lot of the hymns that we have in our hymn book were formed out of suffering. I think of the song Until Then. The author of that song went to church one day and he was dressed in jeans and he had a plaid shirt on. He didn't have a suit and tie. He didn't have the money for it. And he was bawled out by a lady in the church because he didn't come with a suit and a tie. And he felt very badly about it, but he didn't have the money for the suit. So he went home and he wrote the song Until Then. And we have it in our hymn book. As a result of being criticized, he turned it around for blessing because of the Lord. So suffering is something God can use in a marvelous way. If you're facing suffering in your life right now, or facing suffering especially in reference to the ministry that God may have given you, you need to hang in there and stay with it because The Lord is using that as a vehicle of demonstrating his resurrection power. And what he wants to do is to cause you to rely upon the Lord so that that buoyancy, that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen in that suffering. And people will see the contrast between the weakness of your human flesh and the power of God in your life, and they'll recognize the credibility of your witness. So we should never give up in regards to suffering. We can actually look at suffering as Christians as a tremendous opportunity for God to demonstrate his power.